إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So we're now on the seventh condition from the conditions of لا إله إلا الله. الشرط السابع القبول المنافي للرد. This condition is talking about acceptance in opposition to rejection. That you must be wholeheartedly in acceptance of this. The shahada and tawheed. That there must be an absolute acceptance of this da'wah which has come to you. And we've already discussed before about having yaqeen, certainty, and not being in doubt over these affairs, not being in doubt over your iman or the tawheed, not being in doubt about any of these affairs, but to be certain about them all. And here it's talking about the acceptance and not rejecting anything.
ودليل القبول قوله تعالى وكذلك ما أرسلنا من قبلك في قرية من نذير إلا قال مترفوها إنا وجدنا آباءنا على أمة وإنا على آثارهم مقتدون قال أولو جئتكم بأهدى مما وجدتم عليه آباءكم قالوا إنا بما أرسلتم به كافرون فانتقمنا منهم فانظر كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين.
In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that similarly when we sent before you to the villages, to those people, we sent to them a warner. When those prophets and messengers were sent to the previous people, the individuals, the haughty, and those who were in opposition to the prophets and messengers in those places, they would say, we found our forefathers upon a certain religion, and we are going to stick with them in their footsteps. Then he mentions, say to them, O qal, awalaw ji'tukum bi ahda mimma wajadtum alayhi aba'akum, what if something better, a greater guidance comes to you than what your forefathers were upon? قَالُوا إِنَّا بِمَا أُرْسِلْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ, that we are with what you have been sent with, i.e. the prophets and messengers, whatever you have been sent with, they would say to them, we are going to disbelieve in you. We don't believe in you, the prophets and messengers. We're going to stay with our forefathers and what they were upon. Even when the prophets and messengers used to say to them, we have a better guidance for you than what your forefathers were upon. Tawheed. But they would say, no, we are disbelievers in you. فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ, so we avenged or took the revenge upon them, or the punishment came upon them. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ, so then Allah says, look at what the end result of these individuals who belied the message, the ones who rejected the message, look at what their end result was, how the punishment of Allah came upon them.
فَقَوْلُهُ وكذلك ما أرسلنا من قبلك من في قرية من نذير إلا قال مترفوها يخبر جل ثناؤه أن صنيع قريش ومن حولهم في ردهم دعوة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وإعراضهم عما جاء به من الحق هو شبيه بصنيع الأمم السالفة مع أنبيائهم والباعث لهؤلاء وأولئك هو التقليد للأشخاص والنحل.
So the Sheikh says, here Allah is telling us in this ayah that when the Quraysh rejected the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they rejected the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, refused to accept the message and the tawheed that he came with. When they rejected that and they did that, it was exactly the same as what the people had done previously in previous nations. In previous nations, in earlier nations, people had rejected the prophets and messengers. When the prophets and messengers had gone to those people, preaching to them, telling them about Tawheed, telling them about worshipping Allah alone, they rejected that message from the prophets and messengers. They did exactly the same as what Quraysh did when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to them. They similarly rejected and refused, and they said, we're going to stick to what our fathers were upon, worshipping the idols and committing shirk. So what the Quraysh did when they rejected the Prophet ﷺ was the same as what those other mushrikeen from the previous nations did when they rejected their Prophet who went to them. Why did they reject? Because of blind following. Blindly following their forefathers. Blindly following their communities. Saying, this is what we've been taught, this is how we were raised up, so we are going to carry on upon this way. Even when the prophets and messengers had something better for them, they refused to accept.
قال الشيخ عبد الرحمن ابن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله تعالى وكذلك ما أرسلنا من قبلك في قرية من نذير إلا قال مترفوها أي منعموها وملؤوه الذين وملؤها الذين أطغتهم الدنيا وغرتهم الأموال واستكبروا على الحق.
The luxurious ones, those who were in luxury and comfort and arrogance, they who had been deceived by their wealth and the possessions that they had, the authority, the power, the possessions, the luxury they had, they were deceived by all of this. And so they said to these prophets and messengers that we are going to stay with what our forefathers were upon. Inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummah wa inna ala atharihim muqtadun. We found our forefathers upon a certain way and we are going to follow them. أي فهؤلاء ليسوا ببدع منهم وليس بأول من قال بهذه المقالة. So the Quraysh and these people were not the first to make this type of claim. The previous mushrikeen had done the same thing previously. وهذا الاحتجاج من هؤلاء المشركين الضالين بتقليدهم لآبائهم الضالين ليس المقصود به اتباع الحق والهدى وإنما هو تعصب محض. So when these mushrikeen said to the prophets and messengers, we are not going to accept what you have come with, and we are going to stay with what our forefathers were upon, that was not because they wanted to follow the truth. It was not because they thought their forefathers particularly had the truth. It was simply blind following and sticking to their group that they didn't want to come out of. That's all it was. It was purely blind following of them.
يراد به نصرة ما معهم من الباطل ولهذا كل رسول يقول لمن عارضه بهذه شبهة الباطلة أولو جئتكم بأهدى مما وجدتم عليه آباءكم.
That the prophets and messengers then used to say to them, even if we give you something better, a greater guidance than what your forefathers were upon, then will you follow me for the sake of the guidance?
قالوا إنا بما أرسلتم به كافرون فعلم بهذا أنه ما أرادوا اتباع الحق والهدى وإنما قصدهم اتباع الباطل والهوى.
So it became known when the prophets and messengers said to them, we have a greater guidance. They still said, we are disbelievers in you. That showed they weren't after the truth. They weren't after the truth. They were simply wanting to stick to their group and their forefathers and blindly follow whatever, even if the prophets and messengers came with a greater guidance.
Then Allah says, فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنْهُمْ بِتَكْذِيبِهِمِ الْحَقِّ وَرَدِّهِمْ إِيَّاهِ بِهَذِهِ الشُّبْهَةِ الْبَاطِلَةِ.
So then Allah says that He took revenge upon them, i.e. that the punishment came upon them due to their belying of the truth, rejecting the truth, because of this false doubt that they came with, saying that they will stick to what their forefathers were upon.
ما تفيده الآيات. أولا تثبيت قلب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وتسليته وأنه ليس بدعا من المردود أقوالهم كما أن قومه ليس بدعا من المكذبين.
Firstly, to make firm the heart of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. To make firm the heart of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم by informing him that the Quraysh who are now rejecting you, that is not something new. The prophets and messengers before you were rejected in the same way. So it comforts the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To comfort the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to inform him that this is not something new what is happening. The mushrikeen of old, from the previous prophets and messengers, used to reject them too. And that's why it mentions in the other ayah as well,
إنهم كانوا إذا قيل لهم لا إله إلا الله يستكبرون ويقولون أئنا لتاركوا آلهتنا لشاعر مجنون.
When it would be said to them, say لا إله إلا الله, or when the Shahada would be mentioned to them, when the Shahada would be mentioned to them, they would become arrogant and haughty. And they would say, are we going to leave our gods for this mad poet? Talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he is a mad poet. Yasha'irin majnoon, as they used to say about him, that he is just a mad poet, bringing these ayat and bringing these things. So they would reject him in this way. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grounded the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, established and comforted the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, informing him that this is not something new. Rejection of the previous prophets and messengers occurred too. Thaniyan, at-tahdhir min mukhalafati an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Within the ayat is a warning against opposing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a warning not to oppose the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How is that warning? Because in the previous ayah it mentioned, فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Look at what the end result of those who rejected and belied their prophets and messengers was. There was a severe punishment that overcame the previous people, the ones who used to reject their prophets and messengers. Allah's punishment would come upon them. So this is a warning against rejecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that punishment may overcome you too. ثالثا خطر التقليد وأنه من أعظم الصوارف عن قبول الحق والهدى. The danger of blind following. The danger of blind following, and that it is one of the greatest reasons that turn a person away from accepting the truth. Blind following is one of the greatest reasons that make a person turn away from the truth. The truth comes to you, the Quran and the Sunnah becomes apparent to you, but because of your forefathers, because of your community, because of other reasons like that, you don't want to leave your people, so you reject that truth. This is one of the biggest reasons why a person would reject the truth and the guidance. So this is a warning in these ayat. Don't be like those people who reject the truth because you want to follow your people. When the truth comes, then you must follow it. وَمِمَّا يَدُلُّ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مَا فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ عَنْ سَعِيدِ بْنِ الْمُسَيِّبِ عَنْ أَبِيهِ لَمَّا حَضَرَتْ أَبَا طَالِبِ الْوَفَاةِ جَاءَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَوَجَدَ عِنْدَهُ أَبَا جَهْلٍ وَعَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ أُمَيَّةِ بْنِ الْمُغِيرَةِ فَقَالَ أي عم قل لا إله إلا الله كلمة أحاج لك بها عند الله. فقال أبو جهل وعبد الله بن أمية أترغب عن ملة عبد المطلب؟ فلم يزل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعرضها عليه ويعودان بتلك المقالة حتى قال أبو طالب آخر ما كلمهم هو على ملة عبد المطلب وأبى أن يقول لا إله إلا الله. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والله لأستغفرن لك ما لم أنه عنك. فأنزل الله ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين. فأنزل الله في أبي طالب إنك لا تهدي من أحببت ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء. One of the narrations which highlights this, which highlights the point that it is extremely dangerous for a person to blindly follow his people and stick to what they are on, even though he knows that the truth is somewhere else, is the example of Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was young, and his parents had died, and his grandfather had died, Abu Talib began to look after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He took him in, and he was looking after him, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was raised with Abu Talib. Abu Talib loved him. He loved his nephew Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, raised him. And when the prophethood came, Abu Talib used to defend him and protect him against the Quraysh, even though Abu Talib was with the Quraysh. He was a mushrik like them. But he used to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from them. So much that the Quraysh started to have a problem with him as well, and they started to harm him as well, Abu Talib. Even though Abu Talib was a mushrik, he wasn't even a Muslim. But because he was protecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, they started to dislike him and harm him as well. So when he was about to die, when Abu Talib was about to die, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to visit him. Now remember, this is his uncle. He went to visit him and he said, "Ey am, oh my uncle, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ." Say, "La ilaha illallah." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to try and convince him to accept Tawheed before he dies, to accept the Shahada before he dies. So he went there and he said to him, "Say, La ilaha illallah." That will be something that you can be defended with on the Day of Judgment. But when he said this to him, there were two mushrikeen there as well, Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Umayyah. They were also at the bedside of Abu Talib. So when they heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam trying to convince Abu Talib to become a Muslim, they tried their best to convince him not to accept Islam. So they began to say to him, "Atarghabu an millati Abd al-Muttalib? Are you going to go against the religion of your father Abd al-Muttalib? Are you going to go against the religion of your father Abd al-Muttalib?" So when the Prophet ﷺ heard them say that to him, he repeated again, "Uncle, say La ilaha illallah." Say La ilaha illallah. And when the mushrikeen heard that, they would repeat again, "Atarghabu an millati Abd al-Muttalib? Are you going to go against the religion of your father?" So in the end, Abu Talib, the last thing that he said to them was that he is staying on the religion of Abd al-Muttalib, that he is going to die as a mushrik. So he died as a mushrik, and he did not accept Islam. So the Prophet ﷺ said, "But I will seek forgiveness for you. I will seek forgiveness for you. Wallahi la astaghfiranna laka ma lam unha ank. I will seek forgiveness for you as long as I am not prohibited." Then the ayah was revealed, "Ma kana lin-nabiyyi walladhina amanu an yastaghfiru lil-mushrikeen." It is not for the Prophet ﷺ or the believers to seek forgiveness for the mushrikeen. A mushrik who dies as a mushrik, then you cannot make dua for him. Died as a mushrik, then you cannot make dua for him. And this is where the ayah was also revealed, "Innaka la tahdi man ahbabt." You cannot guide whom you love. "Walakin Allah yahdi man yasha." Rather, Allah guides whom He wills. Then the Shaykh says, "فانظر هدان الله وإياك كيف آثر أبو طالب دين آبائه وأجداده وآبى أن يشهد شهادة الحق." He says, look at Abu Talib. How Abu Talib refused to accept the Shahada and how he gave preference to the religion of his forefathers. Even though it is mentioned Abu Talib knew Tawheed and the Shahada and Islam was the correct religion. He knew it was the correct religion, but he still didn't accept. Because he didn't want to leave the religion of his forefathers, he thought it would be an insult to his forefathers if he left that religion. So he didn't leave. And as a consequence, he will be in the hellfire. Then when Allah said, "إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ." That when it was said to those mushrikeen, "La ilaha illallah," they would be arrogant and haughty. وَيَقُولُونَ أَإِنَّا لَتَارِكُ آلِهَتِنَا. Are we going to leave our gods? أَلَّتِ لَمْ يَزَلْ نَعْبُدُهَا نَحْنُ وَآبَاؤُنَا. Are we going to leave these gods that we have never stopped worshipping and our forefathers have never stopped worshipping? لِشَاعِرٍ مَجْنُونَ. For some mad poet. Are we going to leave our forefathers for the sake of a mad poet? يعنون محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم فلم يكفيهم قبحهم الله الإعراض عنه ولا مجرد تكذيبه حتى حكموا عليه بأظلم الأحكام وجعلوه شاعرا مجنونا وهم يعلمون أنه لا يعرف الشعر ولا شعراء ولا وصفه ولا وصفه وصفهم أنه أعقل خلق الله وأعدامه رأيا. So then they were saying that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is a mad poet, even though they knew that he is not a poet and that this is not from his characteristics. They knew that, but they lied against him, saying that you are a mad poet, how are we going to listen to you? And so they refused, and this is from their evil. They didn't just refuse, they didn't just belie him, but they added on top of that more insult by saying that you are a mad poet. So they refused to accept. قلت يعني يا شيخ الشارح وهذا الصنيع من المشركين الإعراض والترك كما أنه أقبح الأساليب في الصد عن سبيل الله ولهذا كذبهم الحق جل وعلا والنقض قولهم ودحض فريتهم في الآية بعدها بل جاء بالحق وصدق المرسلين. Here then the Shaykh says this is what the mushrikeen did in shunning away and leaving the truth. It is from the most evil of the methods of blocking from the path of Allah. And so, because they lied or denied the truth, and their statement and their fabrication was nullified. Their fabrication was nullified. They were claiming to follow their forefathers and to stick to that, and the Prophet ﷺ is a mad poet, but all of that was refuted. بَلْ جَاءَ بِالْحَقِّ Allah said, وَصَدَّقَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ Rather, he has come with the truth, and he has mentioned the truth as the messengers did. قال الحافظ ابن كثير رحمه الله قال الله تعالى تكذيبا لهم وردا عليهم بل جاء بالحق يعني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جاء بالحق في جميع شرعة الله تعالى له من الأخبار والطلب وصدق المرسلين أي صدقهم فيما أخبروا عنه من الصفات الحميدة والمناهج السديدة وأخبر عن الله تعالى في شرعه وأمره كما أخبروا ما يقال لك إلا ما قد قيل ما قد قيل للرسل من قبلك. So Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala mentions that Allah mentioned in refuting them that the truth has indeed come. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with the truth in all of the revelation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has come with the truth in all of the revelation. And that he has attested to the information of the previous messengers. He has attested to that because they, the previous messengers, had informed regarding his lofty characteristics and attributes and methodology. And so he came with all of that truth and revelation and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the final narration here in this chapter and in the whole of this book to conclude is the narration of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu an Nabi sallam qal مثل ما بعثني الله به من الهدى والعلم كمثل الغيث الكثير أصاب أرضا فكان منها نقية قبلت الماء فأنبتت الكلى والعشب الكثير وكانت منها أجادب أمسكت الماء فنفع بها الله الناس فشربوا وسقوا وزرعوا وأصاب منها طائفة أخرى إنما هي قيعان لا تمسك ماء ولا تنبت كلى فذلك مثل من فقه في دين الله ونفعه ما بعثني الله به فعلم وعلم ومثل من لم يرفع بذلك رأسا ولم يقبل هدى الله ولم يقبل هدى الله الذي أرسلت به. In this narration then at the end, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives an example of the guidance that he was sent with and how some people accepted that guidance, and that's what we're talking about here, acceptance, qabul. And some people, they did not accept that guidance. And the example given is like when lots of rainfall comes. When lots of rainfall comes, some ground is moist and it takes that rainfall. And the vegetation grows. Some ground, it takes the rainfall but it doesn't really give much back. Another ground, it is dry and solid, it doesn't take the rainfall, it doesn't collect the rainfall. So these are different types of grounds when the rain comes upon it. He gave that example with regarding this guidance, that when this guidance comes, there are those who accept it, they take it in, and the fruition comes from it. And there are those who take it, or some at the end, who do not accept it and take it. So the example has been given like the earth. Here the Shaykh, he explains that further. وجه استدلال المصنف به يظهر من قوله فذلك مثل من فقه في مثل من فقه في دين الله في دين الله ونفعه ما بعثني الله به فعلم وعلم ومثل من لم يرفع بذلك رأسا ولم يقبل هدى الله الذي أرسلت به. That is the example of the one who learnt the religion. So Allah benefited him with what I have been sent with. So he learnt it and he taught it. Like the earth which is moist and takes the rainfall and it grows. He learnt the knowledge, he took it and he taught it. And the one, another example of a person who didn't raise his head to that knowledge, didn't care, didn't accept the guidance of what the Prophet ﷺ was sent with. Therefore, you can say that it is three types. Al-Ard, in this example, ثلاثة أنواع. النوع الأول من الأرض ينتفع بالمطر فيحيا بعد أن كان ميتا وينبت وينبت الكلى فتنفع بها الناس فتنتفع بها الناس والدواب وزرع وغيرها. So the first type is a type of earth which accepts the water and it comes back to life after it may have been dry and dead, comes back to life and the vegetation grows and the people and the animals benefit from that. Similarly, كذا النوع الأول من الناس, the first type of people, يبلغه الهدى والعلم فيحفظه فيحيا قلبه ويعمل به ويعلمه غيره فينتفع وينفع. A person who learns that knowledge and takes it in, so his heart becomes alive, and he acts upon that knowledge and he teaches others. Same as the earth that takes the water, vegetation grows, the people, the animals benefit. A person accepts that knowledge, takes it in, teaches others, everybody benefits. النوع الثاني من الأرض ما لا تقبل الانتفاع في نفسها لكن فيها فائدة وهي إمساك الماء لغيرها فينتفع بها الناس والدواب. Second type of earth is that it doesn't take in the water for itself. It doesn't take it in and grow, but it stores the water like puddles and areas, so at least others can come and benefit from that water, even though it doesn't take it in and grow itself. وكذا النوع الثاني من الناس لهم قلوب حافظة لكن ليست لهم أفهام ثاقبة ولا رسوخ لهم في العقل يستنبطون به المعاني والأحكام وليس عندهم اجتهاد في الطاعة والعمل به فهم يحفظونه حتى يأتي طالب محتاج متعطش لما عندهم من العلم أهل للنفع والانتفاع فيأخذه منهم فينتفع به فهؤلاء نفعوا بما بلغهم. Same as that is some people who take in the knowledge but themselves don't have the ability to derive the rulings, they don't have the ability to do much with that knowledge, but they have that knowledge. And so others who come along and learn it from them, take it from them, they can then benefit from that knowledge at least. Even if the one who memorized all these things doesn't understand himself. Thirdly, النوع الثالث من الأرض الصباخ التي لا تنبت ونحوها فهي لا تنتفع بالماء ولا تمسك لينتفع بها غيرها. Third type is the earth which doesn't take in water and it doesn't collect the water, so there's no benefit for anyone. وكذا النوع الثالث من الناس ليست لهم قلوب حافظة ولا أفهام واعية فإذا سمعوا العلم لا ينتفعون به ولا يحفظونه لنفع غيرهم. So there are some types of people who don't learn the knowledge, they don't take in that knowledge, they don't memorize it, so they neither benefit and neither can anybody else come and benefit from them. So in this example we are being taught to be like the first type, to accept that knowledge, to accept the shahada, the tawheed, and learn it, and we benefit from that and others benefit from us also. So this is where this particular book it concludes. هذا ما يسر الله جمعه وتحريره من الشرح المختصر على أدلة شروط لا إله إلا الله. This is what has been compiled from the explanation of Sheikh Ubaid on this particular book, the evidences for the conditions of La ilaha illallah. So now your booklets should be complete with the notes. And that's where we'll conclude today. And inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll start with a new set of lessons. A new set of lessons from next week inshallah. And the final decision will be made soon regarding what that new set of lessons is going to be about. Maybe about the Day of Judgment and what's going to happen. Maybe some of those topics, inshallah, the brothers will decide this week and then start that next week at about the same time, roughly, inshallah. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ عَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ